Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We start our Christmas holiday season, and during the next few weeks of December, we're going to be looking at a series of messages that are guided, if you will, through the Christmas songs that we sing. And we just finished singing We Three Kings Orient Are. Say that fast. Oh, sure. So some of the songs that we hear are funny, aren't they, during the holiday season? We hear Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Sorry, I love that song. And some are memory-filled, like White Christmas. We always watch the movie White Christmas at home. And the best Christmas songs are those that relate to the scriptures, the biblical truths, as again we sang this morning with the three kings. The lyrics tell the story of the three wise men that came bearing gifts for the new king. Did you notice that as we sang that song, the three gifts? Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never over us all to reign. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh, prayer and praising, voices raising, worshiping God on high. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume, breathes of life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb. Those verses we have gold and frankincense and myrrh being focused on. And there's actually a definition, so to speak, of the application of each one of those words. So we find this account biblically in Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. It says, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Each one of these kings were indeed kings. And they weren't just simply wise men. They were kings from different regions of the world. And they had learned and heard about the prophetic star that would mark this newborn king that was going to be born. Some traveled very far, very far. And you remember when they had gone before Herod and they asked about the star, that after they spoke with him and they left, the star had disappeared. And then they started, they were looking, they still were faithful, and they saw that star appear. And so that's, we're in this passage where they rejoiced greatly as they saw that star. The three gifts these kings offered, of course, again, was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they were gifts that foretold the new king's future. These three gifts, as many of us have heard many times in our Christian walk and Christians' services, messages, teachings, so forth, was a reflection of the future that was to come for Christ, the king's future. But I want us to understand something that is just absolutely thrilling to me, something that I've never seen before, and I hope that you've never seen before, and that you'll walk away today going, wow, that was really not just interesting, but a blessing. And that is that the gold, frankincense, and myrrh that the three wise men gave to Jesus at his birth, Jesus gave to us. How is that possible? I could use a little gold. But Jesus gave us those three things. We're going to look at that this morning. After all, the scripture tells us that we will be co-inheritors of Christ. Whatever the Father has for the Son, we will co-inherit. Mind-boggling, is it not? And so as these gifts were given to Jesus about his prophetic future, these gifts were given to us spiritually as well. And so it's not sounding as mystical as it sounds, but it will be, I hope, something that is illuminating. So the first thing I wanted to do is to look at the gift of gold. And so fill in your blanks. This gift of gold symbolized Jesus' kingship, deity, purity, and riches. And I want to look at deity first. We've always reflected deity as what the gold represented in Christ. It is the riches of Christ. It is the gold represents the kingship of Christ and his purity and all these things gathered together. So this gift of gold also physically helped to provide for when Herod was chasing after every child that was 2 years and under were to be slaughtered. And so they took this gold and used it to help them get to Egypt. Just a little side point about the significance of the gold. So here's a question. How did Jesus give back symbolically the gift of gold to those who would believe in him? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I've heard people say, oh, I'm a believer. And they confuse the word believing with believing that Jesus was, or who he is, or what he did, or all the facts. But if you're a believer, one who trusts and relies on for spiritual security, in other words, have received them into their heart as their personal Lord and Savior, they are secure by faith in him and have eternal life. And so for all that have received him, receive these gifts as well. And so in 1 John 4:13 it says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us the Spirit. I don't know if you caught it or not there. It says, by this, what's the next word? We know that we abide in him. And that what? He is in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Now, the reality is that this king that the three wise men or the kings of the Orient went to pay homage to, went to lay down their gifts that were of great value, that they laid down before Jesus as a prophetic picture, Jesus received. It was honored. Now, everything Jesus has, we're going to get. You say, well, I challenge you, Pastor. Well, we will be inheritors of what God the Father gives the Son. And so as Jesus received these things, where does Jesus live today in our lives? In our hearts. The very presence of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, actually lives in every believer's heart. Never to be gone, never to leave, always there. And so he abides in us and him in us. We're in him and he's in us. And so I want us to look at a couple of scriptures to help substantiate how we can see that this spiritual gold, I'm going to use that term, has been given to us. Okay? 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for you who know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. The gold, the richness, Christ became poor that we can become rich, not monetarily, rich in our life, rich in our relationship with him, rich in purpose and direction, rich in value, if you will. And so we've received that from Christ. But look at what Philippians 2:6 says, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus died so we might have the riches of him in our life. So, well, you might be stretching that a little bit, Pastor. Well, really? What is the most valuable, most glorious, most wonderful thing or person you have in your life? Jesus. He gave his eternal life, but we actually know him. As we follow him, we know him. His Spirit identifies with our spirit, that we're the children of God, but he's constantly revealing himself to us. And we are saved by grace, and we're saved by grace, right? Not by faith alone. And so as we know that Christ lives inside of us, he did that as he sacrificed himself as an opportunity that we might receive him. There's a reflection there of the gold that was given to Jesus, that we've gained the riches of Christ in our life. There's no more fullness of life than knowing Christ, being in his purpose, being in his plan, following God, living for him, and dying to ourselves. Just as Christ died for us, we learn to die for him. And whether it sounds odd or not, dying for him is very, very rich, because it helps us to know him more, and God uses us for his glory. And so, as Jesus sacrificed so much for us to give us this gold, what did he sacrifice again? The riches of heaven. We can't imagine that. He sacrificed that for us. So we are to sacrifice what for him? What are we willing to sacrifice for him? You see the correlation? He's received gold, his deity, his riches. We've received it by the greatest gift we can have is Jesus. And dying to ourselves as Christ did that we might live for him is a very rich, fulfilling purpose in our lives, even though it is painful. The Holy Spirit, our symbolic gift of gold from Jesus, has been given to what? Help us live a life that is worthy of him abiding in us. I started to say, I'm going to venture to say, but I'm going to say, that when Christians are fully, fully committed to God, myself included, there's no greater life that we can have. There's no greater joy, no greater fulfillment, no greater relationship. There's nothing greater than Jesus in our life and our life given for him. We represent him on this earth and in the flesh now, don't we? We were created in his image. We are his chosen people. We have been given the gift of gold and eternal life. So we represent him on this earth in the flesh now. He's given us the commandments in his word and guidance by the Holy Spirit to help us live for him. In other words, God has given what we need right here to understand his will, his purpose, and his power in our life. As we learn this, apply this, live this, we learn more about our relationship with Jesus. Now, the next gift that was given to Jesus was frankincense. And I'm sure many of you know what frankincense was used for, what it represents, but let's look at it again. Frankincense represents Jesus as our high priest and the prayers of intercession offered up with the incense. What's the high priest? The high priest is the one in the Jewish culture that went once a year into the Holy of Holies, the very presence of where they call it the Shekinah glory of God. The great glory of God was right there in a place that was designated for him in the temple. And the high priest would go every year and offer a sacrifice, offer the shed blood in the Holy of Holies as a person that for the people of Israel, including himself, were offering a sacrifice to God the Father there. He would go in there, he'd put blood on the horns of the, not the horns, he'd put it on the mercy seat in there, and whatever he did there, he did on behalf of the people of Israel to bring them to a right relationship with God. So Jesus is our high priest. And he entered into the Holy of Holies, the place where the very glory of God the Father dwells. And he presented to him his blood. Early in the morning when Mary saw him, he told Mary, don't hug me, don't touch me. I've not yet gone to the Father. And so in all purity, he went to the Father and told him, I've shed my blood, which the Father knew. But it was an intercession for all people that put their faith in him. In fact, it was a way for all people to come to know him. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, what? Shall not perish. So it's for all people, but you and I know that our sins, past, present, and future, are completely forgiven, and the Father sees us absolutely clean, even if we think some days we're filthy dirt. God sees us absolutely clean through Christ. So the frankincense would be burned by the priest, that was part of his job, and as it was consumed by the fire, the fragrance rose. So if you were to see and study about the temple or the tabernacle, and for the Jewish people, you would see these plumes of smoke rising up. They represent the prayers of the people. They represent the fact that these prayers are being lifted up unto God. They represent the fact that this is the smoke that is a result of a sacrifice that was burned. And this is a picture of Christ, that Christ suffered great wrath of God, punishment of God, judgment of God, not because he sinned, but because you and I have. all the sins of the world throughout creation, throughout all time, was placed on Jesus, an unfathomable thing to understand, is it not? And so the fragrance arose with the prayers for the people to heaven. Christ was consumed by the fiery judgment of God the Father on the cross. He experienced the wrath of God. Interesting thing about the cross, there was the fullness of the wrath of God and the fullness of God's love, because it was a way of redemption for all mankind. Hebrews 2:17 says, "Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." Christ paid for your sin and mine. Bottom line, the reason that we can know him and have eternal life. So, as Jesus rose from the dead, right? He went before the Father, as I said, and it represented that priest's smoke that rose, and he was our high priest, and he stood by the Father in heaven, and he brought you and I to a right relationship with God. Not through religion, not through practice, not through service, not through sacrifice, but through Jesus. We know that to be the case. So he brought a right relationship for us to have with God the Father forever. And Jesus continues to intercede for us. Do you know how? As we sin and the accuser comes before the Father, which is something we can't grasp, can we? So many people, so many sins. But as each one of us sins, the accuser goes before the Father. You think he'd get it together and understand. But Jesus always is there as that intercessor to say they're covered by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has wiped away their sin. So get out of here, is what he says. And so we can praise God for that. Jesus received the gift of frankincense from the three kings. And in return, he gave us the spiritual gift of frankincense. What do you think that is? If Jesus was the high priest and he interceded for all people, if the high priest in Israel, or for the Jewish people, interceded for the people of Jesus, I mean of the people of the world, of the Hebrews, then how is it so that you and I have been given this fragrance? Does that make sense? Sort of. The high priest gave the sacrifice and offered up what he needed to, that God would forgive, or at least give atonement, appease God for the sins of Israel. Jesus died so he can provide a way that he can go to the Father and say, the sacrifice is made, and we can have a right relationship with God through faith in Christ. So the question is, how does that apply to us? How is the frankincense given to us? 1 Peter 2:9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That's a glorious verse. You and I as believers are a chosen people. Does that echo the people of Israel? A chosen people? Are we not called a chosen people of God? Both Jews and Gentiles that know God with the right relationship are chosen of God. The Jews were a nation that were chosen for God. And you and I are a holy nation of believers in Christ. But we are also not just a priesthood, but we're part of a royal, I can't say it, royal priesthood. We're part of the greatest kingdom of priests ever possible. And what does the priest do? He intercedes for the behalf of others to bring them to a right relationship with God. What is it that you and I are commanded to do that reflects the same thing? Share the gospel, lead people to Christ. Therefore, we are priests, we are intercessors for those that don't know Christ, to bring them to what? A right relationship with God the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we're a holy nation, his own special people, that we might proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. I love that. Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are to be children that walk in the light of God. children of light. The gift of the priesthood given through Jesus as a sacrifice of his sinless life is a high calling that requires us to proclaim the praise to mankind. So as Jesus was given the gold, you and I have received the richest gift possible, him as King and deity who lives in us. As Jesus received the gift of frankincense, we have, as the high priest, you and I are to be reflectors of him as the high priest, and we're to be the other priests, leading people to a right relationship with God. So in your fill-ins, as priests of God, we are to make intercession for others and help to bring them into a right relationship with God as Jesus, our high priest, did for us. The Jews had their high priest, but they had a whole bunch of priests that attended the temple. And that's a reflection of you and I as believers in Christ. So these are the spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable as his priests. 1 Peter 2:5, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now let's just look at that real quickly. Living stones means that God is building his kingdom like blocks in a palace. We're part of his kingdom. We're spiritual. It's not tangible, but we're part of his kingdom in that regard. So we're living stones. We're also people who live for him. As Peter was called the rock, and Jesus is the rock, we stand on him as living stones built in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to do what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices. How do we do that? Giving our life to God, giving our resources to God as he leads us, and living for God's work. That's part of our sacrifice. When we give up our life for God's life, that's a sacrifice, like Christ gave up his life for us. If we take our resources and God says, give and meet needs of others as God calls us to, then that's an act that God has done for us, that he gave up heaven and his riches and all that stuff for our behalf. And we are to do the work, and Jesus was on mission, we're to do that as well. Now I want to look at the last gift the three kings offered to Jesus at his birth, and that was myrrh. Probably the toughest prophetic gift, because myrrh represents the suffering and persecution that our Lord would go through. And we know he went through a lot, not just on the cross, but all the rejection, all the hatred, all the wickedness that came against him as he, from the point that he was born until he died. Interestingly, an interesting thought about this spice of myrrh. The spice of myrrh was obtained from a tree, and it's a symbolic picture of Christ who would suffer his death on a cross, on a tree, from the tree. And oftentimes you hear in Scripture the tree or the cross, but the myrrh came off of a tree and it represented Christ's suffering. 1 Peter 2:21-25. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. He was perfect. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Boy, if we could learn that, just let God be the judge. As people judge us, it's just God be the judge and let it go. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Christ suffered greatly for our behalf. How is that applied to us? Are we willing to suffer greatly for him? It's interesting. Jesus sacrificed, we talked about that. No, Jesus sacrificed his righteous life through suffering and death on a tree, that we might receive the spiritual gifts of a new life of righteousness through healing and suffering. God heals our souls in the sense that he removes the guilt, he removes the pain, he removes that which cripples us and enables us to live a life that is righteous, even though we have to suffer for his sake if we're willing to. Righteousness and spiritual healing are great gifts that bring great praise to God. Do you think we think about missionaries that are slaughtered for Christ. We think about the many that are shot, the churches they go into around the world, even in America, where they're shot for their stand for Christ. This has great, great, great honor, and it's commendable because they suffered for Christ. You see, suffering for Christ is not the hardships we face. Suffering for Christ is the hardship we face as a result of our stand for Jesus. And are we willing to do that? 1 Peter 2:19 through 20 says, "For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently?" In other words, we deserve it. "But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." One of the reasons why we don't act as those priests stepping out and sharing the gospel with others is we're afraid of rejection or retaliation or some sort of hurt. But are we willing to be hurt for the sake of standing up for Christ? So this morning we also sang the song Little Drummer Boy. And although he's a fictional character, he states something that's very important. He says, "Little baby, I am a poor boy too. I have no gift to bring that's fit to give the king. Shall I pray for you, play for you, oh, on my drum?" Satan convinces us that we have nothing of value to give him. That's a lie. The drummer boy, in this particular instance, could only give him a song. God honored that, in a sense, through this fictional story. God honors when we give whatever we can to God because he deserves it, and we give it with a right heart. And he's thrilled with that. He's thrilled with that. I can only imagine baby Jesus, if you will, smiling at the three wise kings, or smiling, if you will, in this fictional sense, at the little boy. So, my question to you today is, what can you give our king? What have you given our king? Is it time for you to give him your life? Are we giving it? Look, giving our life is not a one-time thing. It may be a decision we make, but we have to be consistent in doing it. And that's not easy. We can only do that through him. Is it time that you open your heart to him and let him enter in? Maybe you're here today and you've never asked Jesus in your heart personally. It's not about church, where you go, religion, or service. That does not save you. God doesn't say, "Well, you did all these good things, now you can come to heaven." No. Your sin and my sin has to be forgiven through faith in Christ. That's the only way. He sacrificed it all for us. What will we sacrifice for him? And it's our choices, our things, our money, or our time. Are we willing to give them up? Is it our comfort? It's a big one. A big one in our culture. I was talking to somebody that is a high-profile preacher worldwide. And one of the things that he was saying is that churches, in particular across America, will not forsake their comfort for Christ. And we have to be willing to do that, and that is a price, because Christ gave up his comfort in heaven, didn't he? Will we let the Holy Spirit work through us to reach others? Will we be willing to suffer for him and sacrifice as he did? What is your gift to the king? Isn't that cool about the three gifts? The gift of gold is Jesus, the deity of God that lives in us. The frankincense is the call on our lives to be intercessors of men to come down and have a right relationship with the Father through faith in Christ. And the myrrh is that we are living a life as a living sacrifice, Romans 12, that we're willing to be that living sacrifice for Jesus. Those are gifts. Those are gifts. Jesus received them. You and I have received them. And we can praise God for that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today, for all of us. I just thank you, Father, for the gifts that you've given us. It's again, I used the term mind-boggling, Lord, that the picture of the gifts that were given to baby Jesus, to you, were actually given to us on a spiritual level. And I've never seen that before, and it's very rich. But help us, Father, each one of us, to use those gifts as you intend for us to use them. That our relationship with you would grow richer, deeper. That our love relationship with you would be beyond our expectation. And that you, through that, would use us for your glory and your honor and your praise, because you have said, if we lift up the cross of Jesus, you will draw on all men unto him. So give us courage and lots and lots and lots of growing love in you. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.